The Subcommittee on Metropolitan Council Accountability and Transparency is called to order. It's a mouthful, try to say that three times fast. Anyway, thank you all for being here. We do have a quorum, so we have minutes from last spring to approve. Would Representative Nash offer the motion?
I move the minutes from the previous meeting on March, for today's, yeah, March 18th. Today, and the minutes from the last, whatever that was. Yeah.
March.
Sorry.
I believe it's March 13th, is that correct? Okay. All right, all approved, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. The minutes of March 13th, 2015 are approved. And we do have two bills before us today, and that's Representative Albright's bills. We do plan to refer them, or is it we refer? Refer them onto the GovOps committee. So it has a one stop and probably two stops left to go. So, Representative Albright, can I present your bills? And did you want to start with 2104 or?
I think for the sake of brevity, Madam Chair, that I would, yes, like to move for 2104 before the committee.
Good. And I see that we do have a couple of author's amendments. So we have the A1 and the A2. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. We just have the A1.
Yeah. The A1, Madam Chair, is because this bill was actually offered and presented last session, the dates commence with the application effective date and expiration need to be amended. So that would take care of that. So if it pleases the Chair, I'd like to move the A1.
Is there any discussion on the A1? Seeing none, all in favor of the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the A1 amendment prevails or passes. Okay.
Madam Chair, I'm not aware of who on the committee wishes to offer the A2.
I wonder if we should probably go ahead and discuss the bill.
I'm sorry,
Representative Lane.
I do have the A2 amendment.
Right. And do we want to take that now or do we want to hear the bill first? Well, I would think we would want to hear the bill first.
Right.
Pardon me?
That's up to the author amendment. I'm happy to discuss the amendment.
All right, Representative Lane, do you want to move your amendment then?
All right, we can move the amendment. It's the A2 amendment into.
Very good. And why don't you go ahead and describe it then for us?
We're doing a Blue Ribbon Council to study the needs of the region, appointing people who would represent the governance structure, looking at the governance structure of the Met Council, and in doing, putting people on there to do this overview of the whole process of the Met Council. I think that membership needs to reflect the diversity of the metropolitan area. So this just simply says that the appointees would represent the diverse economic, social, and racial population of the metropolitan area.
Representative Albright, do you have a response? Or?
Madam Chair and Representative Lane, I looked at this amendment last night, and I find it's wholly in keeping with the desire of the Blue Ribbon Commission to represent those that would be fairly cognizant of the needs and desires of moving transit forward. And so as the author of the bill, I would be in favor of adopting this amendment.
Any other comments or questions? Representative Fenton?
Madam Chair, can I ask who determines, who has that final determination of what the makeup of the Blue Ribbon Commission is as related to this amendment? Is there any?
Perhaps that's why we were considering.
Representative Lane.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Having the amendment pre the discussion or post the discussion, but the point is that as we get into the discussion of the purpose of the whole bill, we'll see that we really want the representation across the whole metro area.
And Representative Lane, I think Representative Fenton was asking, so what proportion of the 17 members, and how is that determined? And then, I think there are 17 members on the, oh, is it 13? On the commission? I think it was 13, okay. So how would, demographic information, and who would sort through that and determine the membership?
And I would ask Ms. Dyson to explain that.
Ms. Dyson.
Madam Chair and Representative Fenton, the membership of the commission is set up on page 2 of the bill, and it talks about the 7 public members and the appointing authority. So you have the House making appointments, the Senate making appointments, and the governor has an appointment, and it just says that the appointing authorities for those public members, the 7 public members, are to consult with each other to come up with the diversity on the commission. The other 6 members are 3 state representatives and 3 state senators. So you have 6 legislators, 7 public members. Of the 7 public members, they're supposed to be diverse interests and backgrounds. And this adds a further explanation of what is meant by diversity. But it's the appointing authorities that will have to come up with that.
Okay. All right, Madam Chair. As a member of the Economic Disparities Working Group, I agree with Representative Albright that this is definitely an amendment that should be accepted. So, thank you.
Any other discussion then on the A2 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the A2 amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. Okay. The A2 amendment is adopted. Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me just give you just a quick run through, and I'm sure that there will be some questions after completing. But the Blue Ribbon Commission actually came up or arose last session out of the work that myself and Representative Halverson actually put together in an attempt to initiate the discussion about how we might achieve, I wouldn't say transparency, but a better clarity to the mission and focus of the Met Council. And so in that vein, this bill hopes to achieve a mission statement by a larger body than just elected officials, which is now, I think, more fairly represented by the Lane Amendment, to discuss, you know, regional planning, but also the needs of the demographic study that serves. We can talk about the subdivisions, particularly in this bill. I think we've already discussed the subdivision 3. This would be a non-compensated commission that would have the function of reporting back to the legislature now, as it stands, on I believe it's by the beginning of the next legislative session. Inclusive of, just to note, the counties of Norfolk, Beverly, Hamilton, Ramsey, Scott, and Washington, so this whole ring of the Regional Planning Center. So, authorities and duties, it's really a function of coming together and appreciating where we're at, making an assessment of that, and then a call to action in terms of how some action steps might be taken by the legislature or the executive branch of our government to put forward not necessarily reforms, but also transformative initiations that would bring clarity to the mission of the Met Council.
Representative Albright, just a question. I'm noting, so you said the report is due March, well, it is March 15th. That's on 2/18.
Right.
And is that time enough, say, to enact something in the legislative session of 2017?
Rather than expedite the diligence that the commission itself would undertake and in a manner that for thoughtful consideration of all ideas. I think that not only is it about the time allowed for the commission to speak to the issue, but it also, I think, allows us for an opportunity to at least initiate the conversation with the legislature. Whether that completes itself in the 2017 session or the 2018 session, I would prefer that we have a thorough vetting and thoughtful consideration of all ideas, as opposed to a push towards something that may be not per se ill thought, but have the robust conversation not only by the commission itself, but by the legislature.
All right, thank you. Do you have testifiers then for your bill, Representative?
Testifiers that I have today probably will want to speak not necessarily to 2104, but to 2467. But I'm certainly not speaking for
them. Okay. We do have Chris Gerlach, Dakota County Commissioner, on the list. So. Yeah, why don't you come up then?
Okay. I can be very brief.
Mm-hmm. And say your name for the record and who you represent, please. And then we'll get yours. And if I could just, let me hold up 1 second. I think we have a question from Representative Seltzer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I just wanted to comment. I think this is really a great idea, very well thought out, and I'm glad that you're not rushing the discussion because it's so important. So thank you for bringing this forward. And I am just curious, it seems like a balanced commission that you're putting together, but I'm just wondering how you came up with the numbers, if there was any thought behind that.
Madam Chair, Representative Seltzer, this was actually a culmination, as I started my comments, coming together about somewhat akin to the number of commission members that we have on the council as well as on CTIB, that we wanted to provide the breadth and scope of the demographics that also serve on those two committees, and recognizing that a small commission may not afford the opportunity for that robust debate. And so inclusion, in my opinion, on a commission is an imperative that it should be considered for the number of people, in terms of the number of people, make, well, I think, a better discussion. Going beyond probably the number that we have in there, 13, I think probably dilutes the effect. But I do think in the round number of Baker's Dozen, really, I think, serves a commission well in terms of the breadth and scope of the conversation.
Representative Seltzer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Albright.
Okay, Representative Albright, do you want to have your testifier say a few words then?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have County Commissioner Chris Gerlach from Dakota County.
Oh, I've just been notified that we don't have we do not have mics at the table there, so I wondered perhaps you could. There's a mic over there. Do you want to just.
Is it able to pick me up?
It's the tape.
Huh?
It's the tape that you need to.
Yeah, the tape. So, yeah. So, you want to, if you want, wouldn't mind then having a chair over there and make your comments from here.
Banished to the edge here.
Stay well, for now.
Chris Gerlach, Dakota County Commissioner. I represent District 7, which is the cities of Apple Valley and Western Rosemount. And I will just speak very briefly. Representative Albright was entirely correct when he said most of what I will be here today to be talking about is the next bill. This bill, however, here, the Blue Ribbon Commission, I am very supportive of, and let me just tell you who I am speaking for so it's very clear. I don't represent an organization as such, but there are a number of county commissioners in the metro area that have been talking about this issue for some time now in a coalition group, a loose federation, if you will, but not as an organization. But we talk about these quite a bit, and I can say I was nominated to come here and give them some testimony on behalf of this group, a year ago we were supportive of this, and we still are, of course. At that stage in our development of looking at ideas, this is a major step forward, the fact of looking at options and ways we can do things better with regards to the governance of the Met Council is very positive, and that we are very supportive of that. and we continue to be so. And I think what I'll do is I'll save a lot of my more detail for the next bill and talk about some of the things we have come up with, some of the ideas that we have come up with, because we're operating under the notion that the best way to get a good idea is to have lots of ideas, and we would like to add our ideas into the mix as you churn these around. So we are supportive of this bill and would urge you to pass it on to the Government Operations Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Gerlach. Then are there others who wish to? Okay, Representative Halverson, question?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Chair, just for clarity.
It was all right.
Should I be moving over there for the mic now?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, let's have you do that. Thank you. And Representative Halverson?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say I really appreciate Representative Albright bringing this bill forward and appreciate his willingness to work in a bipartisan manner to put this together. We spent a lot of time, a lot of hours on this particular bill, and Ms. Dyson was a great consultant on it. And for some background, we did look at other study language that the state had put forward about the Met Council and other ways that the Met Council has been studied over the years to determine what questions we think we need to answer and who needs to be consulted. So there are some very specific things in this bill about what questions we want answered, including an understanding of the history and development of regional governance, how we can adequately and appropriately ensure accountability of the council, which I think is a question that we hear stated in many different ways around this table and in our communities. And so really getting a good understanding about what will bring that accountability that people are looking for. And making sure that the public is being consulted in many ways. And we can certainly continue to look at the makeup of the commission, but ultimately we wanted to be sure that our counties were well represented and well heard, our local communities were well represented and well heard, and that they were, this commission was going to be reaching out very specifically to organizations, including former Met Council chairs, former regional officials, folks in other states who do regional governance. And so there are some very specific asks in this study that we're asking this commission to look at, and I think that it's very much based around the conversation we've been hearing at the legislature and in our own communities about the Met Council. So I really think this is important to move the conversation forward and to have a conversation that gets us to a place that is a long-term solution to the questions and concerns that people have. It's never good to do a quick one-off and kind of work around the edges with this type of issue. And so I think that doing a really smart study makes sense. And thanks, Representative Albright.
Sure.
Representative Albright?
First, I'm just doing a mic check to make sure that we are
okay.
Live. So.
It's like it's working.
I would echo what Representative Halverson said. The conversations that she and I shared last session, and I'll pick up on one point that she mentioned. I think all too often we look at commissions from the standpoint of starting anew and afresh with new folks, and she articulated it quite well, that in some cases bringing back into the new commission members and or leadership from prior attempts not only expedites the process itself, but I think it also brings a sense of wisdom and clarity to the mission, so you're not reinventing some of the past errors or traps that other commissions might fall into. If you will, they've gone over the hedge and they've come back to report. So I think one of the attempts that we tried to write into the language was a desire to include those people for the counsel that they've already received from one another and how that might be beneficial to the new commission.
Representative Albright, if I could just do with somebody else. So I mean, we both sort of talked about what the outcomes and so on. Just one question from my standpoint, just looking at the duties, and I just wonder if, and I can understand why you want it to be very broad, because you really want a fairly wide, well, I was going to say Dragnet, but I mean a lot of folks who consult, I mean previous and current and so on, but specific things to about the authority, you know, what authority is in the policies versus what authority is in the system statements, I mean authority to implement, authority to expand beyond statutory limits and so on. I mean, it seems like there could be more specifics, but maybe you want, for there's a particular purpose you have for being very, very broad.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I hark back to the conversations that Representative Halverson and I had, and I do think that as we move and continue the dialogue, not only with 2104, but with the larger issue on the table this morning, 2467, I think that there is a shared desire that the focus of the Blue Ribbon Commission and or the provisions in 2467 really go to the issue of governance and governance solely. More than anything, I think that you have to start with, as Mr. Noble said in his report and the testimony before the commission, it is really about how do you govern the governed. And in light of the concerns that I've heard and as others on this commission have heard from their constituents as well as their peers, the first and foremost priority that I think we all share is a desire to bring clarity and a better understanding to the mission and role that the governance structure at Mint Council really serves, and whether or not there are provisions that need to be brought forward in a contemporary setting that allow for, candidly, a greater credibility and a greater faith in the Met Council itself by virtue of an understanding of how they are governed. So with that, we did leave it open. We did leave it a bit far afield in terms of its breadth for the desire to, as you may have alluded to, not a dragnet, but more of a gathering of information. Rather than being narrowly focused, we wanted the opportunity to open the aperture as wide as possible to gather that information for the purpose of making a full and complete understanding and a thorough vetting of whatever ideas came out of that commission.
Very good. Are there folks in the audience that would wish to testify? Just come up if you would.
Madam Chair, members,
Mr. Shetland, yes.
Judge Shetland with the Met Council. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'll be very brief. We did have the opportunity to meet with Representative Albright yesterday, and we met with Representative Halverson the other day to talk about these bills. And I would just like to share that the administration is neutral on this bill. We haven't had a ton of time to go into a lot of detail with the governor on this bill, but he does share some concerns about the makeup of the membership of the commission, and we'll circle back with him and continue to have those conversations. But to Representative Lane's amendment, I can guarantee you he'll appreciate that being added. But again, the broader membership, I think, is something that we'll have to have further discussions with him. But for the sake of where the administration sits on House File 2104, we are officially neutral.
Very good. Thanks, Mr. Shetland.
Madam Chair, respond quickly to Mr. Shetland. One of the things I think that we have today is an opportunity because we have a governor's office who is really willing to listen to these concerns about the Met Council, and that was one of the motivations for Representative Albright and I working on this, that we have a governor who wants to be part of this conversation, and that's a big deal. I mean, just from a political science standpoint, anytime you ask an executive to give up any kind of authority, it doesn't happen easily. And it's true for legislators as well. That's always the tension in governments, right? And we've seen it happen historically. And so this is a unique opportunity, I think, historically, to have a really important conversation. And so that's why I think doing this study is very timely, and that we have it could really see some important results. So thank you. And send our thanks to the governor.
Thank you. Great, thank you. Welcome, Ms. Nauman.
Thank you.
Just give us your name. Who you represent?
Madam Chair and members, my name is Patricia Nauman. I'm the Executive Director of Metro Cities, and I appreciate the opportunity to comment. I'll be very brief. Metro Cities does support, our policies do support, a comprehensive study of the Metropolitan Council, and this was an issue that we did take up when our organization had a thorough conversation of our governance policies, and we believe that a study of the council would be timely and appropriate, particularly before any proposals to change its governance structure would be undertaken. I would hope that we could work with the chair of the bill, Representative Albright, as we go forward, just to ensure that the makeup is appropriate. Metro Cities had actually drafted a bill several years ago, and I recall at that time that we had included groups like the Builders Association and others that we would maybe want to see make sure that are included. And then in looking at how the local government officials would be appointed to the group, we would just want to be able to have some conversations with the author and with the legislature.
Sure. I'm sure the representative will welcome your input. Very good. Thanks, Ms. Nauman. And anyone else then? Just state your name for the record and who you represent.
Bob Carney, Jr., clerkly Bob again. I'm a registered lobbyist for We the People and the former association. A couple of comments. First of all, I'm glad this is happening. I'm very concerned about the Met Council, in particular the enormous economic clout that it has. You know, you've got for light rail a provision that you have municipal consent. The park board was supposedly concerned. But I just want to remind everybody, when the park board was raising some concerns about going through what is on a de facto basis parkland in the Kenilworth Corridor, Governor Dayton just absolutely slammed them. His budget included a cut of $3 or $4 million, saying you don't need the money, and it was directly associated with the park board's concerns about this. And I just want to tell you that the Met Council over the years has been involved in managing the purchasing of new parkland, and of course parks is a huge part of our heritage. They spent $600 million on this. So one of my biggest concerns is this enormous economic clout and the threat of retaliation on the part of the Met Council if individual units of government raise their concerns as they appropriately should. And I hope that's going to be addressed, and I just want to ask one other question. Is there any provision or any prohibition on having a minority report coming out of this? Because I wouldn't be surprised if not everybody agrees on everything on this. Is there any provision on that? Thank you.
Yes, Representative Albright, you thought
Madam
about
Chair,
that one.
Just as in any other parliamentary procedure, I'm sure that a minority report would certainly not be mandated, but I'm sure that if people would take exception with this and want to provide additional reference material, that would be par for the course.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Carney. All right, any other comments or questions from the members or the audience? All right, very good. Then take the vote on House File 2104 as amended. Great. And referring to government operations, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? All right, so House File 2104 passes. And is referred to the committee. Okay. All right. Now we have House File. Representative Albright, you have House File 2467, I see.
Madam Chair, and I would move House File 2467 before the committee.
All right.
You have an author's amendment, the DE2.
All right. Representative Albright has moved the DE2 amendment. Do you want to give us a little bit of the flavor of that, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, the contents of DE2 really are to incorporate a couple of different options into 2467, particularly the language revolving around Section 2, as well as the effective date, and I would phone a friend, Ms. Dyson, if she could fill in any of the facts in the sidewalk if I've missed anything.
Ms. Dyson, do you have some comments?
I think it's Representative Albright said the DE2 delays the effective date till after January of 2019, after the next election for governor, and then it, instead of using county commissioners, it has just local elected officials as appointees to the council, so it doesn't limit it to the county commissioners.
Very good. So,
Madam Chair,
right?
And the rationale for that as we've talked with mayors, city council members, county commissioners, as well as some of the constituency groups that you've heard speak before the committee already today, it does speak to the desire on the part of this author, as well as others that have signed on as co-authors, not only in the House but in the Senate, that the aperture, again I'll use that word, for the opportunity to pull from a greater reserve of candidacies and expertise for the benefit of the Met Council does not, some in this room may disagree with me, does not reside entirely with county commissioners. Watch my back with arrows. But it also, I think, speaks to a theme that I will take up after we put the amendment on in terms of the nature of the Met Council and how Senator Dibble, Representative Hornstein, Representative Halverson, and others would like to move forward the discussion in terms of governance structures and how we can include the widest array of individuals, backgrounds, and expertise.
Very good. Other comments or questions on the DE2? Okay. All in favor of the DE2, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Opposed? DE2 is adopted. Have more further description then of the DE2, Representative?
No, Madam Chair. I would like to just make a presentation a little bit about the work that was accomplished on the Legislative Commission for Metropolitan Governance, as well as I understand there are probably several testifiers that will be making their remarks. But I will say that this is a work in process, that as it definitively defined the DE2 and the underlying bill 2467 is moving forward, hopefully with your approval today, to state government operations. It continues the dialogue that refines and I think brings into better clarity the purposes for the opportunity to talk about governance at the Met Council. I take great respect for the work that Mr. Nobles did at the OLA a number of years ago in terms of making observations about the status of the Met Council, taking a look at their responsibilities, taking a look at the history, particularly as it would pertain to the Met Council. And as I've said on a number of other occasions, I do believe that the body that we are members of, in some small but substantial part, are responsible for why we're sitting at the table today. If you take a look at the lineage of responsibilities that have been added to the responsibility plate for the Met Council over the years, some of those candidly were, in my opinion, in mine alone, in some respects, an abdication of the responsibilities that the legislature could not find agreement on. And thus, we foisted them, adjective mine, upon the Met Council, kicking the can down the road, if you will, for issues that were larger than what there was a stomach for in the legislature. My apologies. That being said, today, as the report that Mr. Nobles prepared back in 2011 really outlined, if you read the report, some very, very important issues that we need to struggle with. The Met Council is a very, very large organization that has responsibilities to a great number of the characteristics and tenets, facets, if you will, of Minnesota citizens' everyday life as it would pertain to the metropolitan area. Now, some would take exception with the manner in which they go about their business, and some would not. And I'm not here to debate that right now. What I am here today is to debate the governance structure under which the Met Council undertakes those duties. And as we have talked with the co-authors, they are in full and total agreement on that matter. The debate that we are to undertake, during this committee meeting, as well as those culminating, hopefully, with a re-referral to the General Register, is to take a look at the governance structure alone. Because I believe that with the clarity and bringing into greater focus the responsibilities of the Met Council and those of the members that do bet themselves and are appointed to the Met Council in whatever form that ultimately ends up, I think what we will find is the faith has been restored in the Met Council and that there is a trust and there is a support for the processes and the responsibilities that the Met Council undertakes. With that, Madam Chair, I will stand for questions, but I believe that there are a number of testifiers, and I'm not sure in which schedule you would like to take those, but I will end my opening remarks.
So I have a question from Representative Lane.
My question would be why, thank you, Madam Chair, you would go forth with restructuring the governance of the Met Council when we've just passed a Blue Ribbon Commission to make recommendations to do that.
Senator Albright?
Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Lane. There's probably a couple of answers, and I'll break it down for you. One is this is a desire on my part to follow the success story of one of your members. I'll call it the Kahn effect. In the arena of ideas, they're very, very competitive. And I believe very strongly in both 2104 and 2467. And I believe very strongly, as you've heard testimony from one of your own caucus members, as well as from our side of the aisle, if you will, that there is a desire for an ongoing assessment and a review of the parameters under which the Met Council has evolved and grown to. But in light of that, I do think that there is also a desire to undertake a conversation and I wouldn't say it's just reform, but a bringing into a greater focus a contemporary desire to bring more local control and local visibility to the decision-making process at the Met Council. And so that embodies the tenets of 2467.
Representative Lane?
I would just comment that this would probably be the concern as we go forth here is are we... which is driving the ship. I should think that the first bill would be driving the ship, and this might be usurping those powers ahead of time, whatever the Kahn effect might be. But it doesn't hurt to try. But my recommendation would be that we let the Blue Ribbon Commission.
Madam Chair, and to Representative Lane, I don't see necessarily that they can't run concurrently. Because in light of the affirmation and or advancement of ideas coming out of the Blue Ribbon Commission, I think that that's seasoning and or an additional opportunity to have that council weigh in on the decision-making process as we move forward with whatever other alterations and or modifications we make to the Met Council. But in light of the nature of the support that has been provided to 2467, not only by county commissioners, but by the mayors, by the city councils, as well as city planners, and unelected citizens. I believe it's in our best interest to show good faith and move this agenda forward as well in a concurrent manner.
Representative Seltzer.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And Representative Albright, I understand, I think, what you're saying, but I do agree with Representative Lane that it's kind of putting the cart before the horse. So here's my question. So if this bill, the bill you're presenting now, 2467, would pass and various locally elected officials would be appointed to this, I can't find it in here. Is there somewhere where would their job be to simply continue on, carry on, or would their job be also to look at the Met Council's powers, duties, function, and relationships? Or if is that a blue ribbon commission, and then you would come back to the appointed officials and say, oh, you're not doing it right, we've decided this is the way to do it? My point is, I think it's a little clearer for the, you know, if the commission does recommend, you know, the design of 2467, that the appointed officials would know what their duties and responsibilities are and how they were expected to govern. So I'm just kind of wondering.
Madam Chair.
Representative Albright.
Representative Seltzer. On a dual track basis, as I've laid out between 2401 and 2467, I believe that the concurrent nature of a review of by the Blue Ribbon Commission to the effects that the Metropolitan Council has on each of the counties is important. I do think that in light of the path, if you will, to the governance structure and providing locally elected officials with the opportunity to be appointed to the Met Council board itself. They are going to act in the capacity of a Met Council member, not to make review, not to provide study of the Met Council, but to act in the capacity of the job description laid out for a Met Council member. The Blue Ribbon Commission is disassociated with the governance of the Met Council from a membership perspective. They're set aside for kind of an overarching global perspective that can take a look at the issues relevant to the Met Council and then make those recommendations back to us, so then that we can put those ideas forth in the capacity of a new legislation or not, based upon how we feel the Met Council is working in light of the changes that are undertaken in 2467.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Albright. It's still, I understand what you're saying, but to me it seems that a linear approach, the Blue Ribbon Commission first and then deciding on the structure, might be advisable. Thank you.
Well, Representative Albright, I mean, we do have really, it is linear in the sense that you've got the goals. I mean, the commission report is due a year from now, and really any change in the structure and the appointment process
would be taken effect after the election of our next governor.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it seems like it stages out correct.
Thank you, Madam Chair, but I would say, though, that I would like to see the Blue Ribbon Commission look at what the composition of the Metropolitan Council would be, and by preempting it with 2467, you're kind of taking that flexibility away. But I'll stop now. Thank you.
And Madam Chair and Representative Lane, to your question, I share that desire. The purpose for the establishment of the effective date for 2467 to be in effect after the election of our next governor, but having the Blue Ribbon Commission coming back with a report prior to that affords the opportunity for a reassessment of any changes or additions, modifications that might be necessary to further enhance what the Blue Ribbon Commission brings together. So,
okay. Why don't we go ahead and hear from the testifiers? Maybe they'll shed some light on their thoughts on this too. So, Mr. Gerlach, want to go first, or Ms. Nauman? What would be the order? We have Mr. Gerlach, Nauman, Mr. Mayor Schneider, and Commissioner Workman is our order here. So.
Okay. Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And again, I would...
Please give us your name for the record.
Chris Gerlach, Dakota County Commissioner. What I wanted to do was just to give a little background and match up the bill before you with some principles that our group has developed. And I know you should have a set of those in your packets as well. But let me precede that, but just tell you how this came to be so you have some context. Really, the latest local government effort to address the Met Council governance issue from a county perspective really kicked off in the fall of 2014 when some concerned county commissioners from some suburban counties got together and just started talking about the Met Council and shortcomings in the governance structure and how it wasn't really meeting the needs of counties and what we perceived to be many other local governments and cities and townships and such. And the far as we got in the spring of 2015 was really to support a study bill, as we were talking about
about this and developing our ideas. So that's when I talked about we had supported last year's study bill. By the summer of 2015, we had decided that we were going to develop some principles. We'd done enough talking about what we, grousing about the complaints, but now it's time to develop some ideas about what needs to be done. And so by the fall of 2015, we had developed some principles, and then we expanded it, and we decided that this wasn't just about counties, but it was also about cities. And so we embarked on a plan to call up some cities we knew that had concerns about the Met Council to say we were developing some ideas, do you want to participate? And in the winter of this, just a few months ago, this past winter, we got a handful of cities from within the counties that we represent together, and we got together for four structured meetings with a facilitator to get all of our ideas on the table and develop a local government, not just a county, not just a city, but a more local government principles of how we can go about now coming up with solutions. We decided not to develop a specific plan about who exactly would be appointed and how and all of the details. Instead, we started with the first step, which is what do we agree on? And we really built those upon a common idea of what we thought the problem was. Before you attack anything or an issue, you really got to understand, well, what is the problem here? Well, we decided that, the source of our angst was a feeling of alienation, not just a feeling, but many examples, where counties and cities feel like they're on the outside looking in. And sort of what's going on with the Met Council. And we have looked at the history and the development of the last half a century of the Met Council and have seen it change from a problem-solving, a finite problem-solving group from the grassroots up, from local governments and citizens coming up with solutions as, for example, the wastewater treatment issue, which everybody will hail as a success of regional governance. That came from a group that then brought proposals to the legislature, to the governor, and it worked. What's developed over half a century now is much more of a top-down approach. We believe and we'll acknowledge and we'll find, I don't think you'll find anybody that will disagree with the fact that the Met Council is run as a state agency. It is a de facto state agency. A governor is elected with an agenda. The Met Council is a cabinet department for all practical purposes. There are some differences, of course, because you have council members and such, but the commissioner or the chair of the Met Council is really effectively a department commissioner, and that much flows from the top down. It's inverted from the way it really used to be or should be. And that is the real source of our issues and problems with the governance structure. And we want to see a return to more of the bottom up and less of the top down. So we developed a set of principles, and then we decided we were going to float them out in the public. So we sent out these principles to other counties and cities all within the metro area, to everybody out there, and said, take a look, and if you agree with these, pass a resolution. So that discussion is taking place now this past month or so, and we have about two dozen cities that have passed resolutions. A few others have made some modifications or done different sort of corollaries and various things, but roughly we're looking at about two dozen cities, and the conversation is continuing, and every day more cities are either deciding to take it up or not, we're just continuing to press that with to raise these issues with the other local governments. So if you could look at the principles that you have in your packet, and the key is the statement of belief. If you really want to look at it, that gets at the heart of the matter, because we believe that the Met Council, due to its taxing and policy authority, which has grown considerably over the decades, that it should be accountable to a regional constituency of those impacted by its decisions. It should not operate as a state agency, as it does in its current form, answerable to only one person, the governor.
That is the core principle of what we are after, and we're looking to, and we developed these principles, and now we want to use them as a measuring stick against proposed legislation. The principles we have, number one, was that a majority of the members of the Met Council should be elected officials appointed from cities and counties within the region. The bill you have before you goes partially there in that it does, well, it, in one way it exceeds it. It says that all of them should be elected officials, which we believe is good. However, it does leave the appointment ultimately in the hands of the governor, which we think is one of the core problems, and that is that if the governor is making the appointments, he is a constituency of one. That's how this works. We all know how constituencies work, who we answer to and who we pick up the phone for and who we're going to act on behalf and advocate for. In this case, it would still remain with the governor. And so our key principle is to shift that and to have at least a majority of these individuals appointed by council actually be appointed not from the governor but through some mechanism from local governments. That shifts the power balance considerably and allows the local governments now to have a meaningful seat at the table, and that it's not run as a state agency, but it is run, the governed are being governed by the consent of the governed. So it's a time-tested principle that we think is lacking with the current Met Council governance structure. So that is a key principle. Another one is that, the next two stem from the same principle. We believe that cities should directly control, again, that's very critical, directly control their appointments of their city representatives to the Met Council. You can't logistically have every city appoint someone, so there has to be some mechanism, some districts, some maybe it's tiers of sizes of cities, or some mechanism by which the cities would control their own appointments to the Met Council. And then likewise, principle three is that counties would send their own representatives, and as practical, we think that each county could, among their boards, send one person from their county board to serve in that capacity, and that would make sense. But the key principle here is that local governments are the appointing authority and not just making recommendations to the governor, and this will allow for meaningful local government's input on the policies and direction of the Met Council. Item four, principle number four, is about staggered terms. And you pretty much will find everybody in favor of that. There's two reasons. One is, we believe, it does go an inch towards some gubernatorial letting loose, because you're going to have some overlap with another governor, and there is a little bit there. But really, this is about institutional stability. This is just good management. You don't want to sweep out an entire board of directors and then sweep in new people and expect that you're not going to have a herky-jerky sort of get-up-to-speed management style. So really, I think that you're going to find that just about every testifier is going to say there for staggered terms, with the exception, of course, of the executive branch and the governor, of course. Also, that membership on the Met Council should include representation from every metropolitan county. I've kind of covered that. I think we want to make sure there have been some counties that for long periods of time have never had anybody on the Met Council because of the way the districts work and such, and we wanted to address that issue. And then lastly is a tough one, and this is the one that's going to require some thought from people who are smarter than us, certainly, and that's where many of you will come into play in facilitating this, and that is trying to figure out how do you then balance the representation. If it's based strictly on population, you end up with much like the Constitutional Convention of 1787, where you have large states and small states, where you have large counties and small counties. If you base it strictly on population, you have a tyranny of the majority, and the minority will never have any representation. So how do you balance that? Of course, we're not proposing the great compromise of two of a bicameral Met Council, but there are ways to internally balance that and get the geographic balance through weighted voting or balancing the number of representatives, or I know CTIB uses a model where the core counties have to have, they have to have a suburban county on board. There's ways to do this. It's not it's not outside of our grasp to be able to do that, that there would be some sort of voting based on population, but it must incorporate some system of checks and balances to account for that geographic balance. So those are the things that can be done. We've put forth these seven principles that we think are critical to getting at the problem of local governments actually governing themselves. We believe strongly that there are public benefits to regional governance. We're not saying we're going to abolish the Met Council. We are not criticizing in these principles any policies that have come forth from the Met Council. We are not criticizing the Met Council members, the chair, or the governor. We are looking at this from a civics 101 perspective and just simply say, apply these principles here, and if you can, when you're building, if it can match at least most of these, you're going to have something that is going to be just good government. So, thank you.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Gerlach. And Patricia Nauman, please. Please state your name for the record. Tell us who you represent.
Madam Chair, Patricia Nauman. I'm the Executive Director again of Metro Cities. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on House File 2467 today. Metro Cities is a member organization representing cities throughout the seven-county metropolitan area. And just for a little bit of background, for those of you who are not aware, the organization was created roughly concurrently with the establishment of the Metropolitan Council to represent cities at the council and to make sure that their interests were accounted for. Metro Cities has long supported staggered terms, which are included in House File 2467. That's been a long-standing position of the organization that has been reiterated in recent years when our member city officials took a long look at the issue of governance for the Metropolitan Council. We believe that staggered terms does provide some important continuity of knowledge on the Metropolitan Council. It provides more diversity of voices on the council over time, and it would help to minimize or sort of stabilize the ideological shifts that occur when you have all the appointments potentially shifting every 4 years. We think that a long-range planning body like the Metropolitan Council does not, that it lends itself to something like staggered terms. We also support changes to the nominations process for the appointment of Metropolitan Council members to make sure that a majority of local officials are included in the governor's nominating committee when the governor appoints Met Council members. There's the committee of seven. We believe that a majority of those members should be local officials, again, to ensure that local needs and concerns are taken into account when members are being selected. And on that point, the Citizens League, I've been observing, they have had a task force meeting for the last been several months, feels like a few years actually. It's been a long time. It's been a very good process, but to observe. My understanding is that they are poised to, they haven't made final recommendations yet, but they are poised to recommend 6-year staggered terms for members, as well as enhancements to the nominating process as well that would provide more transparency in the process and put more local officials. I actually think they're a recommendation that is likely to emerge from the Citizens League could be even a little bit better than Metro City, so in terms of the transparency, and we would support that recommendation when it comes to you. Metro Cities does oppose having a Metropolitan Council composed of local officials, whether they be county officials or city officials, due to the incompatibilities of those offices that were raised and identified by members in our organization that took a very long look at governance through a task force just a couple of years ago. And those concerns revolve around having local officials serve and vote on more than one political subdivision at the same time, which is generally considered to be incompatible, having the potential for actual or perceived conflicts of interests when you're a local official who was elected to one community and representing several others on the Met Council, and having officials serve in both a regulatory and regulated capacity. So we believe that those are incompatible functions. Those were identified by our cities. And in addition to that, the cities on the task force that recommended this policy did identify the impracticality for city officials, at least, who often, with the exceptions of the core cities, do not serve in full in a full-time capacity in those roles, so it would not be practical to ask them to serve as a Met Council member. I do just want to finish, and I know Mayor Schneider from Minnetonka is here to provide comments. I want to just add that city officials do intersect with the Metropolitan Council across its broad scope of decision-making and policy-making. And Metro Cities, if you were to look at our policies on the Met Council, you would see that we do support a high level of collaboration and partnership with local government officials across its scope of activity. We believe that there are structures in place now that do require that, but certainly could be enhanced without going so far as to remake up the Council of Local Officials. So, Madam Chair, thank you.
Very good, thank you. Any questions of the witness? Yes, Representative Lane.
Yes, I just, thank you, Madam Chair. Just the clarification that the Metro Cities say local officials should not be sitting being the regulator and the regulated. I think this is a strong point to emphasize.
Representative Nauman, any feedback?
No, wait, that's correct. That's a correct clarification.
All right, any other comments or questions? Very good, thank you. We have Mayor Schneider. Please come to the table and give us your name and who you represent, please.
Thank you. Terry Schneider. I'm Mayor Minnetonka. I had a fairly concise, brief comment to be made supporting Met Agencies or Metro City's position. After hearing Commissioner Gerlach's comments, I may expand that just a little bit into a couple other different areas that I think would be pertinent, if you don't mind. And I may want to start also with just a brief perspective of, you know, where I'm coming from and where our city is coming from, just so you know where we stand. City of Minnetonka, it's a western suburban area. We've always, for years and years and years, have been looked at as a regional player to solve problems and be a regional partner and not get into the parochialism of, well, I didn't get my money this year, so when do I get it, and that kind of stuff. So that's been our long history, and we're proud of that because I think it does benefit the entire region. In a little bit personal perspective, I've been on the City Council for 23 years, prior to that Planning Commission 8 years, and Park Board before that. So through that time, along with this policy of the city being a regional partner, I've been personally involved in many elements of the interaction with the Met Council, and starting back in the early 90s, being on the Parks and Open Space Board before I was even on the Met Council, on the City Council. When I was elected City Council, I was appointed to the Transportation Advisory Board, served on that for about 6 years in the late 90s. I was on the board for the Metro Cities and president for a year, and then on the League of Minnesota Cities board. But I also chaired for, I don't know how many years, 6-7 years, the Met Agencies Task Force, Policy Task Force, and we debated at length and at nauseam the structure and Met Council and the pros and cons, and it's hard to thread that needle to find out what the right thing is. But we had lots of robust debates. A lot of the comments I'm hearing now are the deja vu of what happened back in that time frame. But it is very relevant, and it's important to make sure that the system works right. I also served several years on the Land Use Advisory Council, which is part of, you know, being appointed to the Met Council. I currently serve as chair of the Metro GIS, which is really kind of a unique entity. It's a non-entity of collaboration with Met Council, State Department of GIS, and the five counties, trying to figure out how to better use GIS services throughout the region. And it's a very good cooperative effort. We have representatives from counties, cities, school districts, watershed districts, and the state offices, and make great progress on that, and it's been a real pleasure. And it's hosted and partially funded by the Met Council. That's why we're sort of under the fiduciary agent for that agency. And I serve currently on the Southwest Light Rail Corridor Management Committee appointment to work through all the issues related to that. Be quite frank, you know, in all that time sitting as a city official or working in relationship, it can be challenging working with Met Council. There are issues that you don't quite agree where they're coming from. You say they don't understand what's going on in our city. All these issues sort of come up saying, well, that just can't be right, or that's the wrong approach. Having said that, the idea of having an open and transparent body that is focused on regional governance, regional planning, and regional infrastructure is hugely important to our region. And that far outweighs the fact that we don't agree with their population projections or housing goals. Whatever they throw at us, they're more than willing to work with us on that. And I think that gets back to the point that maybe I wasn't going to talk about, but Councilmember Gerlach, Mr. Gerlach indicated that if you're involved, if you participate in all those activities, and you do help shape the policy of that council. It's not just sitting on the sidelines complaining. It's getting involved in those various things, and they do listen. I think the major element, and I think the critical part of this process, is really the staggered terms. And the reason I say that's critical is that when we talk about top-down or bottom-up approach, I think that's the improper description. Because of the fact that the policy board for the actual Met Council people, every time the governor changed, completely changed philosophy and ideology, it's very difficult to project long-term and to think long-term and to have that pragmatic regional perspective going over the time. So what happens in reality is that it's staff dominated. So staff keeps the plan up, they keep the work going, they make sure these 30, 40, 50, 100-year concepts are not lost in the shuffle of new members coming on board. And for good or bad, the staff leads a lot of that activity. So that's not the top, that's not the Met Council members doing, that's saying that we don't have enough stability and professionalism in the staff, in the Met Council to say, no, wait, we're going to set the policy and we'll have you do the implementation. Now, there's a gray area because they do a great job, we think. But having an effective way to stagger the terms, and one of the challenges I see with this getting delayed till the next governor is that we may not have a governor that's open to it, and I do think the current governor may be open to saying, you know, this isn't working right, maybe this element should for sure get passed within his term. But that would go a long way towards solving the idea that you do have people that are there primarily with a regional perspective, thinking long-term, and being responsive to the people they're serving. That's the general public, cities, and counties. When you get into the city issues, and this again where I wasn't going to talk about it, but the cities are impacted by land use, by sewer availability, by housing goals, by almost every aspect that the Met Council gets in, we are impacted by that from either advisory or regulatory or funding mechanism. Some of those translate to the counties, but it's primarily funding for transportation, and that is really set up and managed by the Transportation Advisory Board of the Met Council, which is predominantly elected officials, including county officials already. So I think part of that issue might be resolved by saying, how do we enhance the effectiveness of the Transportation Advisory Board, because they are the official body that has to approve all funding legislation. Now, it has to be endorsed by the Met Council, but as far as the federal government is concerned, the TAB is actually the response that they look at for funding allocations, and then, of course, working with PennDOT. So, I guess the last item is getting back into the Metro Agency's position on not having elected officials actually be on the board. And I think that's a critical element. We've discussed that on and on and on. The reality is that county commissioners and city council people have, even though we're only part-time, we really have full-time constituents that we have to address. And we're dealing with many, many, many issues, and then to be able to say, well, we have jobs, a lot of us do. I mean, very few city officials are full-time. So to take time now and try to devote the right resources and sort of maintain this regional perspective by going to the Met Council meeting and putting aside your little parochial issue of what your city does or doesn't want, it's been very difficult, regardless of whether there's a real conflict of interest. It's just a challenging perception to be able to do that. The other thing I think you opened the door to is now you're getting, even though it's appointed by the governor, you're now getting politics and special interests potentially involving that who gets to rise to that level of point. And I think that would be absolutely devastating to the region from the standpoint of being able to make objective, long-term, regional decisions when you've got someone that says, I'm here for a reason, and here's my cause, and I need to get this funding for this constituency or whatever else. I think that would be an extremely disservice to the process. So, to me, however this, and I do agree, though, that having a more robust nominee process so that the governor has some guidance in however that works out, that's going to take a little bit of finesse to make that work. I do think that would help elevate the right kind of people to that position rather than just looking in the paper and saying, well, who was appointed, and not knowing their background and everything else, which has happened in the past. So again, I think the key point I would like to have the committee walk away with is how important it is to have informed, knowledgeable, and regionally thinking people serve in that capacity, however they're selected, rather than having somebody that's got consistency they need to actually satisfy.
Very good. Thank you for your comments, Mayor. Are there questions? Yes, Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for your testimony. A couple of areas of clarification. One of the things that I was curious about was when you talked about there are times when cities don't agree with the Met Council's recommendations or the Met Council's analysis, and how do you, as a mayor, address that with the Met Council?
Well, it's varied over the years. It really depends somewhat on the topic and the part of Met Council you're dealing with, whether it's the population projections or housing goals or it used to be the old Musa line. It depends on the issue. And sometimes you come out with a certain perspective, and obviously it's for your own interest, because you say it's not, that can't be right, or we don't want to abide by that. And there have been times when it was like hitting a stone wall, they're just not listening. I think that has changed, or definitely has changed with the new chair. Chair Dunnick has done a phenomenal job of dialoguing and increasing that transparency and the understanding and the dialogue. But that's an evolutionary process, is really who we have there. But there are mechanisms by getting involved, by getting yourself appointed or to some of these task force, to raise the issues up. And I think it would be easier if there was a broader feeling in all of Met Council staff and the Met Council that there's a long-term policy that we're trying to achieve, and we're not going to be changing it every few years back and forth. Because then people say, well, I don't know what the real game plan is, so we'll just kind of do what we're comfortable with doing. And sometimes they don't work out because they are a body that needs to think forward, and sometimes that forward thinking isn't compatible with your own individual needs. So then it's somewhat up to the city to say, okay, I need to think a little bit differently, and we need to adapt to that. We've been successful in having them listen to us, and where they're really off, we've seen some compromises.
Chair, one more question for our testifier. You had also mentioned kind of capacity issues about this current, or about the proposed structure, that could elected officials really fit one more thing in to their part-time jobs when it comes to city officials. And so could you see a scenario where, well, a couple of things. One of that, could you see a scenario where it would kind of end up defaulting to county officials who tend to, serve full-time? And then the other thing is, how would you resolve conflicts over who is representing large and diverse cities? I look at some of the Met Council maps that we currently have with 16 districts, and there are, a dozen cities and three counties in some regions. And so, and some of the cities are large and powerful, and some of the cities are little townships with the 100-year-old town hall still standing that people go vote at. So how do you see that working? Or
Mayor Schneider?
Well, I guess I'll address the last one. That is a real challenge because within our area, we've got all the way from Orono, which really wants big lots and doesn't really want a lot of sewer, to the inner city area of St. Louis Park. They're doing redevelopment work, and Our city was relatively fully developed, so we're really worried about affordable housing and how do we manage what redevelopment growth we have. So every city has their different issues that are the hot button of the day, and it does evolve as cities mature. So if you were able to actually figure out a way in each district for the cities to collaborate in that kind of process like we do in everything else, fire, police, we work on all kinds of issues, economic development and even some housing. We work within our cities as sort of a mini area. I don't think it necessarily follows the geographic guide parameters of the Met Council districts, but we do work very collaboratively with the cities in our area around the lakes, the small cities, the big cities, and the inner cities, saying what's the right solution. And we also are involved, I'm set on the regional council of mayors that's sponsored by ULI, and we do the same thing. We said, you know, what are the issues, how do we resolve this? And if you keep this perspective that we're doing it for not for our needs, but for our future generations' needs, I think you can get that solved. And maybe you have advisory task forces within each region that go back to advise their representative. I don't know what the answer is, but it's not appointing one person out of that group to be an elected official to represent everybody's diverse opinion. That would be disastrous.
Thank you. Right. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Mayor, nice to have you. Always nice to have mayors with us, being a former one. Either to yourself or to Representative Albright, or feel free to phone a friend. There are some commissioners in the chamber that can answer this question. So under the Federal Highway Act of 1962, metropolitan planning organizations were chartered for cities of 50,000 population or more. One of the requirements and one of the deployments around the rest of the country are that there have to be elected officials serving on a metropolitan planning organization. It is abundantly clear to me and anyone who's read this that Minneapolis, St. Paul area, the seven metro counties, we are an aberration. And I'm just wondering how you would respond to that, because we are an outlier. We are not in compliance, and you know, there are some actions that are going on at the federal level regarding Met Council. I think that the conversation's been had over the last number of months. So if you would, either of you or former transportation chair might or might not be lurking in the room, we'd love to hear your input on that, and you know, how you would see this bill as a remedy to that, to bring us into compliance. So Representative Albright, perhaps, or Mr. Mayor?
We'd like to respond.
I'll just leave for the mic.
Yeah, I'll start first.
All right, Mayor Schneider.
You know, I that's a good challenge, and that's been discussed and debated over the years regarding the relationship between Met Council, the actual appointed body, and Transportation Advisory Board, which is the official entity that the federal government looks at for that compliance. And with all the funds we received over the years, including hopefully light rail funds, they're in full agreement with the process that's been set up with having elected officials on that body do all the detailed work of evaluating the priorities and the allocation of funds and recommendations. They do it in consultation with MnDOT counties, and counties serve on that. And then they make a recommendation, and by and large, the Met Council says we concur with it. But the formal recommendation comes from TAB. And yes, it's an anomaly, but I think it keeps the Met Council thinking broader about regionalism versus getting into all the, I mean, it's a lot of work to do all that criteria ranking and everything else that the Transportation Advisory Board does. So I think they're a great asset, and I know Met Council feels, or Met Council, MnDOT feels that it works very well as well. So I think the current structure is adequate.
Any follow-up? Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know that I have a response that I'm going to hold fire on that, if you will, not to be derogatory, until my closing comments. But I think that either Commissioner Gerlach, or I've not heard from Commissioner Workman. I understand he might be testifying, but I think, given the intimacy of their work on that issue, I think it might be best if we hear directly from the people that were sourced with that task. So if Commissioner Gerlach would be willing to testify to the outcome of that, I think that would be most relevant to this committee.
And who wants to testify, or
We should have time for Commissioner Workman at this point. Thank you, Mayor Schneider.
Madam Chair, if I could, while the
Nash?
While they're wrangling over whoever's going to come up and testify, you know, having served as a mayor and knowing my county commissioners well, they serve on various boards that they're appointed to, and I don't think that it's an undue stress for them to serve in those capacities. You know, Commissioner Gerlach and I sat on a board together, and he's still there. I'm not. But I also watched Commissioner Workman, some of our other Carver County commissioners. This is not an undue stress, I don't believe, for them to have a role that would be as we have described it. You know, certainly from a regional perspective, they have a great insight into what's going on. Carver, Dakota, Scott, you know, Commissioner Siraj is here as well. I just think that in my estimation, see it as a minimization of their value or their ability or their bandwidth. I would disagree with that assessment.
All right, thank you. And I'm going to, if I go to Commissioner Workman, would that be great? Because he was going to be on the list anyway. So it's your turn, Commissioner Workman. Help us resolve this.
We might regret this.
And please give us your name for the record.
Madam Chair, I am Tom Workman. I'm a Carver County Commissioner, among many things that I do.
Please go ahead.
I'm not sure if I was directed up here to answer the question specifically that...
However you wish to proceed.
Others. I was just going to come up and support Representative Albright's bill and then be on my way back to beautiful Carver County, which, by the way, was... this week voted for the fourth year in a row the healthiest county in the state, despite my friend Judd Shetland's efforts at the Met Council. And I wasn't going to get too involved, but, you know, Madam Chair, I got to serve down here. I think I overlapped with you a little bit. 10 years, and I found that being a legislator will defoliate your life. It'll depending on where you live and how you can manage it, it's a horrible place for your family, your job, a career.
a moment here, but okay.
After 10 years, I said, that was enough, and I wasn't even going to run for the county board, but did. And 14 years later, here I am, still looking young and fresh.
You're looking green yesterday.
Yes. And I work with a lot of people, a lot of legislators. Representative Nash, I know that he has, he does not officially represent Chanhassen, Hoppy and Pugh do, but I know he has the interests of Carver County in mind, and Chanhassen and Victoria and cities he doesn't represent, and he has to have a state view. So I always tell people, because the word conflict of interest has come up, I can't have a conflict of interest. It's not allowed. If it's a true conflict of interest, I have to step back, announce I have a conflict of some sort. I'm kind of amazed by that. It's very easy to see from a long way away if I'm going to have a conflict of interest on something. And Madam Chair, I'm a county commissioner, and I'm a lobbyist and a consultant. But I know clearly when that might happen. I drove for years as a TAB member with a locally appointed city council member from Chanhassen. I was the taxi cab down there. It was a city council woman who had a job, and she was a city council member, and we tried to make it easy for her to get down there. But if you can't do it, as I chose not to as a legislator, then it's time to move on. And city council members run with the idea that they're going to have all these extemporaneous meetings and committees and nights and things that maybe they didn't know. I guess I'm kind of shocked. Most of us enjoy going to a lot of these things. I was in Gaylord for a railroad board meeting this week, back down here and all over the planet. And that maybe is the problem with running for office, is that very few people can do it. very few people can afford to be a legislator or run for, or be nutty enough to knock on doors to run for it. So, but we do an awful lot of things. I'm on the Metro Mosquito Control Board. That doesn't mean I don't want Anoka, my friends in Anoka County, to not have mosquito services over Carver County. It all works really nice and well. Very well-run organization, by the way. Solid waste boards. And so I think, you know, I was trying to add the mayor's years of service up, and I got up to about 130 and I stopped counting. But he's been around a long time, and I think he's got a private or had a private career, a successful career. He makes that work. And so, again, my TAB experience was that you got to get down there, and I got to be there, and it's a meeting, another meeting that fits in. But
are you saying that there's a synergy? I mean, when you're acting and when you're wearing a lot of hats and have that exposure to a lot of things, that the synergy is good, positive.
In simpler, Madam Chair, that's what you sign up for. And so, but I guess what I'm building up to, Madam Chair, is that none of it adds up to the defense of really what is an archaic organization of unelected officials making determinations of millions, if not $1 billion, on my local constituents and their taxes. And the defense of it, none of it adds up to that. Okay. And so
I think we do have a question. Is it Representative Lane?
A comment we have, thank you, Madam Chair, heard a long litany of Hollow County Commissioner who works full-time and gets a nice salary compared to the legislative salary. really puts in a lot of time to do the work. That's great. But what we heard from the mayor, who is a local city official, that it's another ballgame totally. So I wouldn't put down having three local city officials on here. I wouldn't put down all the words that he said that would suggest that it was difficult on their end by all the words you're saying for a county commissioner. So that would be one comment. And the other is that I do personally have a concern as to whether local officials could get beyond that parochial view for their area because their election depends on it. And that's the problem we often have here at the legislature.
Well, in Madam Chair, I guess I can add that I was a city council member of the city of Chanhassen. I knew what I signed up for. And it was a lot of meetings, and I that's the way it is. Again, I just don't think taking an unelected official out and putting some elected officials in who are able to accomplish that is going to be very difficult to find.
Good. Any other questions or comments? Representative Seltzer?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to make a comment and a plug from that Blue Ribbon Commission that we've, of course, I'm very partial to my mayor, who does have a long history of distinguished service, and Mayor of Minnetonka, Terry Schneider, and regional perspective. He's got that reputation and looking out for the greater good. So given the various perspectives here, I think that Blue Ribbon Commission is looking very good, and I think before we leap into having locally elected officials on the Met Council, I think it would be a good idea to have a further discussion.
And anything else then, Commissioner Workman?
Since we're healthy in Carver County, Madam Chairman, we've got a big cheeseburger, a cigar, and maybe some Irish whiskey if there's any left, and then the healthy part is the nap.
Mm. Yeah. All right, thank you very much. Is there any other testimony from folks in the audience? Mr. Shetnan. Please identify yourself for the record.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair and members. Again, my name is Judd Shetnan. I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Met Council, so thank you for the opportunity to speak on this bill. And as I mentioned earlier, we did have a chance to speak with Representative Albright about both of these bills earlier. And unlike House File 2104, which we are neutral on, the administration is opposing this bill. many of the arguments have been expressed. We agree with many of the arguments made by Metro Cities, in particular about the issues with incompatibility of office, potential conflicts of interest, and parochial issues that could arise from this. And I know that a lot of the discussion relates to council governance is oftentimes mentioned from the auditor's report. And I'd just like to remind the committee that the auditor's report was commissioned, brought forward in 2011, and that dealt with transit governance. And the council's roles are much broader than the transit governance that was looked at by the auditor. So many of those issues of incompatibility of office, conflict of interest, arise in much broader areas of the council's enterprise than just transportation. And there has been discussion about there being issues with the MPO, and that the council is unique in this fashion. And we are unique because many MPOs, that is their only function, but the Twin Cities area MPO is the council, and we have much broader roles and responsibilities. But I'd like to let the committee know that this afternoon I'll send you a letter that we received from the U.S. Department of Transportation, FHWA, FTA, that states the council is in compliance. We are the MPO. There is no question about that. So I will share that with the commission this afternoon, because I know that that has been circling around, and that question has been raised, and we can tell you once and for all that that is not an issue. I appreciate some of the comments that were made about the chair. I think that one of the things that has changed is that with having a full-time chair, we have been able to get out, have those conversations. I hope that reflects part of what Mayor Schneider was mentioning, and I can tell you that there has been a very, very intense effort to do that, and I think that you've seen the chair out across the region, and that is hopefully creating a different feel for the openness of the council, of the council chair. And so we feel that that change was made about 15 months ago, and we are seeing a very positive effect of that. But to take a step back from there, again, the administration is neutral on looking at the Blue Ribbon Commission, but if you look at what is being proposed here, there are some very big concerns regarding how the council would work with elected officials, and all of those issues that were raised before are felt very strongly by the administration as well. And I will just stop there in case there's anybody that has questions about this.
Mm-hmm. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, first of all, I do want to thank Mr. Schoenman and actually anecdotally just mention that we had our State of the City address yesterday. It was quite green in Eagan because we were founded by Irishmen. And it was the first time in my 10 years of attending the State of the City address in the city of Eagan that I saw Met Council Chair attend the address. And it's, of course, this is always a time when we spend, talking about what we want for the future of our city, how we're planning, and what our past challenges and successes were. So I thought that that was significant and kind of just illustrated that there is that the chair has kind of taken seriously this challenge of being more open, because we certainly have heard, as I believe Commissioner Gerlach said, the feeling of alienation has been expressed in many, many ways to me over time. And so I think that this new chair has taken that very seriously. And so perhaps there's ways that we can, as a legislature, with the talk about those kind of expectations and oversight in the future, because people really do want a responsive Met Council. And to that point, one of the things that I notice in the bill is that we'll be going from 16 districts to 8, which gives me a little bit of pause when we talk about. Oh, the delete. I'll change that. Sorry, I'm not catching up. So we're still at 16. Okay. Well, then I'm not as worried. But, I really did want to make sure that we have the opportunity to maximize the responsiveness of the Met Council. And I think creating the expectation of service to communities as opposed to just governance, that, you know, like somebody said, this grassroots idea of leadership, and that we want to be sure that all of our communities are heard from and that we have effective ways for folks to do that. Frankly, some commissioners have a big area to serve right now. I'm in a district that actually is probably one of the smallest and most homogeneous, in that, you know, we've got three cities and we're kind of similar sizes and similar issues. So it's, I think I'm the only one. I think Representative Fenton's district runs from, you know, the north in Washington County over to Ramsey County, up to Chisago County, and has very small cities and very large cities. So we want to be sure that all those voices get heard. And so that's something that I'll definitely will be at the top of my list when analyzing good changes in the Met Council. So,
all right. Any other comments, questions, discussion? Thank you, Mr. Shetland.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And I think we've had a good airing of thoughts and ideas, and appreciate that very much. I don't see any further comments there in the audience. So, having said that, we will go ahead and take a vote. We're prepared to vote on House File 2467, and refer it to the Government Operations Committee.
I actually had another question for the author.
Okay.
Representative Alveson,
we can take that.
So thank you again, Representative Albright. I want to state very clearly that I know how important this is to you to work in a bipartisan manner to really, you know, find solutions, and I really appreciate that. And so I want you to know all my questions are in that spirit of finding answers together. But one of the questions I have, and I always have it, does this change mean that the members still serve at the pleasure of the governor, or how does that work? Because that's what the way the current structure is. They serve at the pleasure of the governor. They can be removed by the governor.
Good question. All right, Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Halverson. That they are under the terms and conditions with the bill as amended, they are appointed by the governor. They are not coterminous with the governor's administration, but they are elected officials. They are appointed by the governor, but they, I would, Ms. Dyson, I may phone a friend here. I believe that so long as they uphold the duties of the office of the Met Council, that they would serve out their term.
Can you clarify some of that for us, Ms. Dyson?
Madam Chair and Representative Albright, yeah, you're correct. It establishes staggered terms, but they are appointed by the governor. They don't serve at the pleasure of the governor. So in order for a member's term to be terminated, there's a statute that talks about when an office becomes vacant, and it applies to a lot of different local offices, basically. You know, you commit a felony, things like that. Malfeasance in office, but it does not allow for the governor to just say I'm unhappy and terminate somebody's appointment. It's serving for terms.
Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Seeing no further questions from the members, we'll go ahead moving House File 2467 as amended, going to Government Operations Committee. And all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The bill is adopted and moves on to Government Operations.
Thank you, members.
And great. Thank you very much, Representative. And we are adjourned for the day. Thank you.